Praise God. So grateful for our time of fellowship and our love offering. So grateful that you, I know I say this all the time, but I'm so glad y'all love each other. Amen. And I'm glad that you love our visitors that come, and it's just a blessing. I don't know if y'all have ever been to some churches that I've been to. Not everybody loves each other like y'all love each other here in a church setting. And it is a spirit of love that you allow God to have inside of you and from you. So I really appreciate you so much, and I'm so grateful. Would you just stand? We're just going to worship for just a minute, and then we're going to go and I'm going to share the word of God with you this morning. But just want to give God praise this morning. Amen.
gaze transfixed on Jesus' face.
Praise his name. Hallelujah. He is worthy of our praise. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I'm still stirred up over Sunday school meeting. Amen. We had a great time in Sunday school. If you're not coming at the moment, and you just want to enjoy some more time of fellowship and just the richness of God's Word, don't miss Sunday school. Amen. Not one of our Sunday schools is bad. Amen. They're all incredible, taught by incredible people. The men's is a little, I don't know about him that teaches it, but... The people there are great, but it is just rich and it's enjoyable to be there with one another. And so we need to know now more than ever, amen, what the Word of God says. We need to know the signs and the times, and we need to be ready. We need to be ready for the things of God, not just the end. I think we, in our Western culture, are really good at preparing for the end. We've got life insurance. We've got our funerals already prepared, you know, so our family's not left with those. We're good. When we know that there's an incoming, we're just waiting for that day. But we can get caught up in the waiting and not doing anything in that waiting. And how many of you know that there is work to be done? There are still things that need to be done before our end. And I want to be ready. I want to be working spiritually for the kingdom of God. Amen. That's not my phone. Just want y'all to know, I turned mine off. I think it was the Bluetooth deal back there, but I do. I want us to be prepared, and you know, we taught through our VBS. Our theme was being fishers of men, and the first night we talked first about being saved, and the necessity of being saved, and how when you do get saved, how incredible it is and how liberating it is. It's a newfound freedom of the sin that we were once in, now into this liberating spirit where there are no shackles. There is no shame. There is no trouble in our hearts concerning our end, concerning our eternity, and living in that freedom. And because you've experienced now that freedom, now you want to tell others about the freedom that you found. And I just was thinking, just through the days that we were doing our VBS, and I was thinking about the ages of these young people that were receiving the gospel, that were receiving salvation for the first time. And I just thought, man, I wish I would have chose then. I wish I would have made my decision then when these young people, where they are now. And not that I regret the path that God has taken me down and the lessons that I've learned. But man, if I would have known then what I know now, I'd have chose it so much faster. And I think all of us would have agreed with that. But if you'll turn with me in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 4. I want to just share with you some scriptures that we use during VBS, but I want to just kind of give a layout of it and just encourage us this morning that, number one, there is no greater thing than to be saved. There is no greater reward than heaven. And there's no greater time to minister that truth than now to the lost. And I want us to be encouraged. I want us to have, as we were saying in VBS, lures in our tackle box to cast out and to bring people in. And you don't need to go out and buy new lures. Amen. They came with your salvation. The truth that came in your salvation is all you need to share with people the good news of Jesus. Amen. Matthew chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 18. Very familiar piece of scripture here. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. This is Jesus who saw them. Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And I want to just minister on this very briefly before we move on to the next. From this perspective, how captivating was Jesus that these men left everything they knew? And I'm not saying they were old men or even in their 30s. They were probably young men. What would you say, Cordon? 18, 19, 20 years old at this time, these disciples. And I don't know about y'all, but as ready as I was to leave my parents' house, I wasn't ready to leave my parents' house. Anybody here experience that? I mean, I was ready to get out, but I wasn't ready to get out. When I did get out there and realized what life was like, I cried and wanted to go back home to mom because it was scary in the world. And I just think about these young men, and I think about how they were focused throughout their life to being one thing. They were down into this place where this is who they were. This is their character. This is their moral system. Everything their parents have taught them. Undoubtedly, their fathers were fishermen. And they were raising their sons to be fishermen. And now, as 20-year-olds, 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, they're getting prepared to take on the responsibility of running this organization, this operation for their family, whether it was just feeding their family or selling in the market and taking care of their homes and their families. And here they are bearing the weight of this, whether they were bearing the full weight of the business in the moment or they were getting ready to bear it. They were preparing themselves to bear the burden. And one encounter with Jesus messed that up. It just demolished their ideology and their thought process for their future to the point where they could see no other life except following after him. And I can tell you from a person that experienced Jesus that way, that my life changed the moment that I met Jesus. My priorities changed the moment that I met Jesus. My direction in life changed the moment that I met Jesus. And it reminds me when I read over these scriptures of the purity of my heart when I met Jesus. And I hope maybe this morning you could remember back to those days where you met Jesus and you think, man, I had my whole life planned ahead of me. I had this and I had that and I had all these plans and I wanted a husband that looked like this or a wife that looked like this and I wanted my job to look like this and I wanted my life to be like this. But when I met Jesus, those things went out the window. Not your preferences or maybe not even your drive, but your want left you because it was replaced now with what does Jesus want in my life? And that's what salvation does, because it takes the heart of stone that we once had and it melts it down into this soft, fleshy heart that God gives us. So, which means basically this: when you get saved and His Spirit comes upon you and it fills you, your heart now wants what His heart wants. And you know, I was surprised at how much God wanted a lot of what I already wanted. I wanted a wife and I wanted children and I wanted a life. I wanted to enjoy that life. And I can tell you, look where I'm at now. God's will led me right into that. And I'll say this, there were some other things in my life that I wanted and I'm not disappointed. And that's the beauty of following Jesus, is that God comes in to a fleshly vessel as like we are. And He begins to work in our heart and He begins to allow our life to go hand in hand with His will. And it's a beautiful interaction. And the reason He does this is because He's created you a certain way. He's given you a certain mind with certain thoughts. And I look at my children and know that there is no normal human being, no one human being that is exactly like another one. Anybody have children like that? We had our first daughter and we just thought, man, what are we doing? I couldn't believe they let us go home with her. We knew nothing about raising babies. They just said, here you go. No instructions. Nothing. They just said, as long as you have a car seat, you can go home with her. And we did, thankfully. And that's a whole nother story in itself, how we got a car seat. But they sent us home. We had no instructions, but we had her for a year. And we decided it was time to begin to think to have another baby. And we find out that Carly's pregnant. And we start thinking, man, we've got this licked. We've already started with one. I mean, the next one's going to be the same as she is. And boy, were we wrong. Four children later, not one has been like the other. We've faced new challenges every single time. And it's been incredible to see. But God has created them that way. God has given them the thoughts that they think. My son is the most logical thinker you've ever met in your life. You could say something sarcastically or facetiously, and he goes, no, it's not. That's not it at all. It's this, this, and this. And I go, I know, I'm joking. I know that it's not literally this. He's just a very literal person. That's the way his brain works. And then you've got Selah, who cares nothing about nothing. She's just a free spirit. She said, I don't care how church is supposed to go. I'm going to go hang out with my dad on stage, you know? And so they're just different. And God has purposed us that way. He's given us to this world this way. And so when you think about it, how God has put us in here, and He's even created desires in our hearts to live certain ways, and that when we finally come under subjection and we submit to the Spirit of God through salvation, how synonymous our hearts sometimes are with His, how in sync our wants are really His wants. And you know why He does that? Because you've been born into the family that He wants you to be born into. You know that no baby is born by mistake. Every good and perfect gift is from the Lord. And so you can look at babies that are born into certain households and just think, man, that poor baby, that was a mistake. That was an accident. No, it wasn't. God knows what He's doing. He knows where He's placing people. Because He's waiting on the day that heart is submitted to Him. And it can begin to sing harmoniously in their life to those that are around them. I'm glad today that my parents attend church here. My mom is recovering from a very intense pickleball game from yesterday. That's why she's not here. I only played her one time and she beat me, so it wasn't me that did it to her. But I'm grateful today that my parents are in church. I'm grateful that God bore me into their family. And I look now at our life and I just think, wow, God, you know what you're doing. You know what you're doing with our lives. There's no question about that. And it's the moment that I decided to follow you, the moment that you found me and I gave my life to you, you knew where I would be. You knew I'd be in Indian Town in June, right here in this pulpit as pastor. You saw that way back before creation even started. You saw that opportunity and that possibility if I gave my heart to you. You saw the people that I'd be able to be friends with and to minister with. And I think about that all the time. And I think about how everything changed when I met Him. And I look at other people's life and I think, wow, look how God changed you from your trajectory. You could have lived out life in your flesh, not knowing God, in your own will and your own strength, but look at you now. You're not. You're under the power and the subjection of the Holy Spirit and His will. And how different your life is because you have chosen that. And I look at these men, these young men, and the trajectory of their lives and what it is going to end up being at the end of it, because we get to read and we get to understand the history of these men. You get to walk where those men trod, and you get to see and experience how these men ended up dying and how their life changed because they met Jesus. John could have had it easy. Even Peter was talking to Jesus, and Jesus said, "Peter, when you were a young man, you did what you wanted to. You went where you wanted to. You dressed yourself. But when you're an old man, you are going to be taken where you don't want to go. You're going to be stripped and humiliated." And that was talking about Peter's death. He was going to die a martyr's death. And you know what Peter said? "Well, what about John?" That's our nature, isn't it? "What do you mean I'm going to have to deal with this? What about so-and-so? Are they going to have to do that too?" And Jesus' response was, "If I let him tarry till I return, that's my business. But I have a will for him too. And he will see it through to the end. So you just worry about yourself, Peter. I'm going to get you through what you go through, and I'm going to get him through what he's got to go through." Because God doesn't leave anything to chance. He takes care of us. And he's prepared these men. He's talking with these men, and it's all coming from this place, how their lives are going to be changed. And I think it's amazing about all the years that they walked with Jesus, all the time that they got to spend with him, all the miracles they got to see. And I think about us this morning, and I was hoping that we'd have our kids in here just for a short time where I could just testify and say, from the moment that I met Jesus, just like these young men and their time in the boat, I can look back over the years that I've been following him and I can recall every miracle, every blessing, every time when my faith began to fail, his faithfulness came through and secured my belief in him more. And more. You know, Jesus would always say, "You have little faith. Just believe. Just believe. You have little faith. Look, let me prove it to you again." Jesus does that to me all the time. I think all the time, I'm like, "Lord, how are we going to get through this? How are we going to do it?" And he's, "You little faith. Have you forgotten already everything that I've already done and can do?" And he just reassures them and reassures them. And I wanted to share out of John chapter 21, if you'll turn there with me. 13 verses, because Jesus lives with these men. He teaches these men. He gives them examples, physical examples. He's not just telling them parables and life stories. He's laying his hands on the sick. He's healing the deaf and the blind. He's raising the dead. He's cleansing the lepers. And he's doing all this in front of them. And he's ensuring that they have not believed on something falsely. And to believe on him and to carry on, because it's necessary. It's necessary because he is not always going to be there with him. And he's wanting to leave them something in return. In his absence, he's wanting to give his spirit to them. And he's wanting them to carry out the mission that he came for. And that is that the good news is spread. And that is that faith is spread throughout the world and belief is put into Jesus as their Savior, just as these men have recognized in Jesus. And so John chapter 21, Jesus is crucified and now he is resurrected. And in this time, this lull time where Jesus is resurrected, he is visited with his disciples for a time. He's revealed himself to a few people, but his disciples are still in question. His disciples are still trying to figure out what's going on. Jesus is now gone. He's ascended to the Father. What do we do? How can we move forward with our life now that this has happened? The Holy Spirit hasn't come yet. The promise that he had asked. It's this lull time. And we see this in John chapter 21, verses 1. It says, "After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. And Simon said to them, 'I am going fishing.' They said to him, 'We will go with you.' And they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" And they answered him, "No," as if Jesus didn't already know that. And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards. And when they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. Now, I think it's important that we recognize this in contrast to the first time that they met with Jesus. Because if you remember what we read, it says that Peter and Andrew were fishermen. And when Jesus came to them and he spoke to them and he called them, he said, "You may be fishermen now, but I'm calling you to make you fishers of men." Meaning you're not going to ever come back to this place. This place of your life, it's not your calling anymore. I'm taking you out of what you know here in the physical, and I'm taking you to a place that you don't understand in the spiritual. And I'm going to teach you how to live your life here in the spirit. I'm going to reveal myself to you here. And you're going to find such fulfillment in doing my will that if you ever desire going back out there, if you ever attempt to live outside of my will or live outside of submission to me, you won't be satisfied. And you know what I think's great? Because in John, when they're out there fishing and Jesus is on the shore, I mean, they fished at night there because it's tropical and it's too hot. The water's too shallow there. So they have to fish at night to catch the desired fish. So they fish all night long, and Jesus is on the seashore in the morning preparing breakfast, and he calls out to them and he says, "Hey, have you guys caught anything?" You know what they said? Nothing. That's a life that is separated from Jesus. It's an empty life. It's an unfulfilled life. It's a life that Jesus said, "I'm removing you from this. This unsatisfied life, this unfulfilled life, I'm going to remove you out of this life. And in my will, you're going to be full. You're going to be satisfied. And the only way you'll gain that satisfaction is by doing my will, doing what I ask you to do." And so Jesus is giving this gentle reminder to them. He's expressing to them, "You remember where I called you from? You can't go back there, because when you do go back, you find yourself in the same predicament you were in when I found you." And you remember, there's a different account in another gospel where Jesus came out and he says, "Have y'all caught any fish?" And they said, "No, we've not caught any fish." He says, "Push out a little farther." And they're fishermen. They know better than that. They know the fish are in the shallow water, not the deep water. Jesus says, "Push out a little farther and throw your net on the other side of the boat." And they caught an abundance of fish. He was revealing to them, when you do what I ask you to do, look how satisfied your life is. Look how fulfilled your life is. This is life in my will. This is life satisfied by my spirit. You'll never go hungry in it. You'll never grow thirsty in it. Your longing and your desires will always be satisfied. But anything apart from me, you'll always be able to remember the empty nets. Because every time you try to go back out in your own ability, in your own will, in your own strength, this is what you're going to rear, is nothing. It's emptiness. And so he's trying to teach them and express to them, listen, I have ascended. I'm about to ascend to my Father, and the Spirit is about to descend upon you. And I want you to know that when you take this Spirit upon you and it empowers you to go out and to do the things that I have prepared you to do, that anything less than that is going to be this: emptiness, depression, shame, guilt, unsatisfaction with life. Don't matter how hard you work. Heck, it doesn't even matter how much fish you catch. You're still not going to have enough. It'll never fill that hole inside. This can only be satisfied in me. And that's the beauty of living this life as a Christian. Don't get me wrong, I'd love to be raptured. Right now, the moment we got saved, I'd love the Lord to just snap us up to heaven. We're done. We're in heaven. What a reward it is. But that's the joy of being here, is that even though we still face the trials of life, we're not what we used to be. We're not in the state that we used to be in, which allows us to live in similar circumstances, maybe even do similar things. These were fishermen, now they're fishers of men. Similar context, similar concept. But the reality of it is, in this work and in this will, I'm much more satisfied than anything else I could have done previous. You can still own businesses. You can still work at Walmart if you want. You can go down to the Dollar General and apply. I'm not saying you can't do that, and but if you just did that alone, and if there were young men, I used to tell my youth group this all the time, go to the NFL, go to the major leagues, go do these things. But I can tell you, when you get there, you'll realize that you're just as empty there as when you were down here without Jesus. It's emptiness. But I can tell you, if you'll get a hold of Christ now, and you'll get his fulfillment now, it doesn't matter what you do or where you go, because his satisfaction is with you ever, always. Always. And with that, I want to just share this part of my testimony, because I know this better than anyone, this experience. Because when I was a young man, there was one thing I wanted to do. I wanted to be a professional bullfighter. I wanted to actually be a professional bull rider. And I hurt myself, and I got injured. And I wasn't able to continue, but I wanted to continue in the sport. I loved it. I was a young man. I started early teens. I think I was 13, right here when the sheriff still put on the rodeo here in Indiantown. And they gave the opportunity for young people, to, if their parents signed a waiver, and gave $25 where young people could get on steers. And it was earlier in the afternoon. And I remember coming because my cousin was going to get on one. And I just begged my mom, please let me try, you know, get on. And it was a disaster. She did say yes, and I did try. And as soon as they opened the gate, I never left. I mean, it was an atrocious attempt. And I don't know what it was, but it just hooked me. I just loved it. And we ended up getting in touch with Pastor Jesse at Gethsemane Ranch, and he had a practice pen where they rode bulls, and I got to ride in junior rodeo, and then I rode in high school rodeo, got buckles and things like that. And in my youth, in those times, I didn't serve the Lord. I didn't really care anything about the Lord. Mr. Jesse tried his hardest through those years, and I just never was ready. I didn't put my faith in the Lord in those times. And I got hurt around 17, and I tore some ligaments in my hand. It was my riding hand. I wasn't able to close it and hold on anymore. And I remember Stephen Bruner was out there at this time, and he had just given his life to Jesus, and he was teaching bullfighting. And I said, well, if I can't ride bulls, I might as well run around them. Not smart. I get it. Neither one of those is smart. But I didn't graduate high school either. And people used to say, how do you get into a sport like this? I said, well, when the carnival won't take you, when the circus won't take you and the carnival won't take you, you're limited, you know, with your choices. And I chose rodeo. And but I ended up fighting bulls, and I started doing it. I found I was really good at it. It was mostly because my parents wanted an NFL player. And so I went to all these football camps and learned fancy footwork, and it made me very good at fighting bulls. And it began to take me to places. It began to take me to different rodeos, and that gave me opportunity to go to a professional rodeo and buy my card. And I was approved to get my card. And I remember around that time, I was 18, 19 years old, and I had been fighting bulls for some time, and I had this aspiration to go and to be in the PBR, to be in the CBR, to be in the PRCA. And I'll never forget, I was at a rodeo. And at this rodeo, they gave an invitation to accept Jesus. And I can remember as clear as day, I was thinking, what a strange rodeo that they're talking about Jesus. I mean, I've heard about Jesus all of my life. And even then, I'd rejected the call to come. But I remember getting in a little Toyota truck and driving home with my girlfriend from this rodeo. And I remember the Spirit of God dealing with my heart. And I remember the Lord's voice, as clear as I'm speaking to you now, say, Rafe, I love you. And I want you to know that your time is drawing short. And I knew what that meant because about 2 weeks earlier, I had put a pistol in my mouth and I was ready to kill myself. And it was by the grace of God that I didn't. 2 weeks later, I'm hearing the voice of God. I had believed that God didn't love me and couldn't love me. And here now the Lord is saying, I do. And I couldn't believe it. And I just began to cry. And I just began to be touched by the Spirit of the Lord in that moment and Him speaking to me. And I'll never forget, I was driving. The radio was on, a country station. And it was like the music just, ooh, to nothing. And it was the voice of the Lord speaking to me. And then when He was done, everything came back. And I was driving. Thank God I didn't wreck. But everything kind of came back to normalcy. And I'm crying. I just feel like I left the presence of the Lord. And I look over to my girlfriend. She's confused. Because everything was normal before then. And I just looked at her and I said, this is going to sound like the craziest thing you've ever heard in your life. And when we get home, if you don't want to be with me, I don't blame you. That's literally the words I told her. I said, but I have to give my life to Jesus and follow Him, no matter what that looks like. And I mean, I was a mess when I'm telling her this. And she just looked at me and she said, I don't know what just happened to you, but I want it to happen to me. And we ended up giving our lives to the Lord. We ended up coming home. We ended up joining a church out at Gethsemane Ranch. That's where we first started going when we got saved. And a few months later, we got married. And I've been faithfully married to that beautiful woman who loves Jesus more than anyone I know for the last 11 years. We've gone on 12 years. Sorry, 12 years going on 13 years. We've been married, have 4 children. Who would have thought? But in that time, I remember I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to fight bulls. I'm going to attend church. I was actually, I don't know if y'all remember, Sid Humphrey used to live right down the road here. He had approached me and he said, I want you to be a part of the Martin County Sheriff's Department. And I'm thinking, okay, my grandfather was a deputy sheriff. I'd love to join. I filled out the application. They were going to pay for my school and give me a car to go back and forth and do what I needed to do. Everything was set to go. And all my plans were set to move forward in this area. And the Lord spoke to us and said, nope, I want y'all to do this. And I had to, you know, respectfully decline the position. Carly had to give up her position at school where she was at. And we ended up moving 8 hours away from home into a ministry that we felt God was leading us to and completely messed us up. All the plans that we had ever had messed us up, and we had to start over. And we did. We went up there, and when we got there, this church was looking for a youth pastor, and we were definitely not them. We were just saved. And I remember the pastor coming to me and said, you're kind of young, and you've gone through things. Why don't you share your testimony with our youth? Our youth pastor just left. And I said, you don't understand how awful my testimony is. You don't want me sharing this with children. And he said, well, just G-rate it, you know, and just give God the glory. And we went in there. We had a great time and sharing the word. And I was nervous as could be. I was barely older than most of these kids. But it was incredible. And in that moment, I just realized that man, God might be calling us into ministry. God might be calling us to do this. And a couple weeks went by, and they kept having us back. And before long, they just stopped asking us. We were just the youth pastors. And so it was unbelievable kind of how that went. But my career in rodeo continued. And I went and I began to fight bulls in these different places. And God gave me great favor. I was ended up able to get my PRCA card. I was actually able to travel throughout the Southeast. And it ended up giving me, making a name for myself. And I'll never forget. In this time, as years had passed, I'd been fighting bulls every other weekend, going to different shows. And throughout that time, I was full-time youth pastor. I was on the worship team at our church, just doing the will of God while also doing these other things. And I'll never forget, we were going to mission trips and things like that, which in that time, this church actually sent us to Honduras, my first trip to Honduras. He sent Bibles, and I actually came and shared. I don't know if y'all remember that. That was 9 years ago, 10 years ago now. But I came and shared about our trip, and crazy how life goes. But long story short, I get to this place, this crossroad, where I'm fighting bulls very much. I'm doing it a lot at this point. It's every weekend now. I'm getting calls. And I'd been invited to go fight bulls in the CBR, which is Championship Bull Riding. It is the same as the PBR. They're just competitive groups, you know, for each other. And so I started fighting bulls with them, which was a dream come true. Already, I've accomplished a dream in my life. And I'll never forget that I'd made it to the CBR, and then I had gotten invited to the CBR World Finals in Cheyenne, Wyoming, which, if any of you know about rodeo, it's the daddy of them all. And it's one of the biggest and greatest rodeos that you can go. And I got invited to fight bulls at the World Finals for the CBR, Tough Eat 'em in the CBR. And it was one of the greatest experiences of my life. And I'll never forget going and sitting in my hotel room at the World Finals. And it took forever. It took me 3 days to get to Cheyenne because we had layovers and we had planes break down and things. It was the worst trip you could have ever experienced in your life. It was amazing, but it was the worst. And I'll never forget, I got to my hotel room and I had my Bible. I took it out and I put it on the bed and I was just getting things done. And I just sat on the bed after an exhausting trip. And I just looked over and I had this real realization. And I picked up the Bible and I opened it to Proverbs. I opened it to Proverbs. And I think it's Proverbs 3. And it says, to the man who gives the first fruits to God, I will give you favor among God and men. And I thought about that as I was sitting there, and I thought, why am I here? How did I get here? I had some kid from South Florida who knows nobody in the industry. How have I ascended to this level? And how am I sitting right now in this hotel room? And it was a nice hotel room. I didn't afford it. They paid for it. I couldn't believe it. And I begin to read, and I begin to think, there's no way I could have ever been here if I hadn't met him. He hadn't brought me to this place. And then there was a sadness that came upon me. I looked around because here I am. I'm sitting in the very place that I wanted to be my whole entire life. I dreamed about fighting bulls in the World Finals at this level all of my life since I was a little boy and started riding bulls in rodeo. This is all I ever dreamed about doing. And now I'm here. And you know what I found? Is that it was disappointing. It wasn't at all what I thought it would be. It didn't feel like I thought. I thought there would be some great ecstasy and this one, I'm here, it's wonderful. There was none of that. It was just a normal day. And the only satisfaction I had was in that word when I picked it up and I realized that God was with me. God had satisfied me. And I'll never forget, shortly after that, I went on a trip that this church sent me on to Honduras. And I remember ministering to some people over there that didn't want to hear the gospel, Americans that didn't want to hear the gospel that were a part of my group. And in 4 days, God softened their heart. And 28 of them gave their life to Jesus on that trip. And I remember being so mad with God that he sent me in the first part because they were so mean to me. They were very ugly. They were a bunch of doctors and nurses that didn't believe in God and had God complexes. And they said, we don't need God. We're here to do God's work, is basically what they said, but not that God. And at the end of it, they ended up giving their lives to Jesus. And after that, I was just like, God, I want to do this all the time. Well, after I'd gone to the CBR World Finals, everyone was calling me. Everybody wanted me to fight bulls at their rodeo. Everybody wanted me to be a part because I had gained that status. The CBR wanted to keep me on. The PBR was calling me. I don't know if y'all know who Frank Newsom is. He's one of the bullfighters that's been there for 30 years. He was retiring. They wanted me to take his place. And I'll never forget laying in that bed, and I just said, God, I can't wait to be back next year and to do this again in Honduras. And the Spirit spoke to me, and he said, you won't be. And I said, what? What do you mean? Why wouldn't I want to come back and experience this again? He said, you'll be too busy. Everybody wants you to fight bulls for them. And so you're going to have to choose. You're going to have to choose to do this or to do that. And it's your choice. And if you choose to do that, you choose to continue fighting bulls, I'll bless you. I'll give you my favor in it. But just know this. This is as close as you get to me from here on out. And I thought, well, what's the other option? He said, walk away from that and do what I really created you to do. I want you to take this on in this direction. And I thought, man, what a choice. I could be blessed. I can be favored. I could know God. I could have my salvation. And I could have my heart's desire, my dream. I could fight every world finals that I want to until I retire if I wanted to. But God's not asking me to do that anymore. He wants me to do this. And I can tell you, if I would have chose that, I wouldn't be here today. But I thought, what kind of a choice is this where I would choose that over getting closer to you? I've not found satisfaction. I just told you, I just sat in a hotel room. I wasn't satisfied there. It didn't do nothing for me to sit in that hotel room and to fight bulls there. It was great, great experience. But I was empty until I looked over and saw what really fulfilled. It was the Lord. So now the Lord's saying, you can have this thing that doesn't really fulfill you, or you can have what really does. You can have more of me. You can have all of me that you want. My will is calling you to something greater than being a bullfighter. I'm calling you to be a fisher of men. I'm calling you into my will, deeper into my will, to have all that you want of me. How could I choose anything different? I think about John 6, when Jesus looked at them and said, if you want to be my disciple, you must eat of my body. You must drink of my blood. And thousands of people said, how can we bear this teaching? It's too hard for us. And they left him. They made a choice. We can't follow you. And he turned to his disciples and he said, will you leave me also? And they said, where else could we go? You have the words of life. Whatever the cost, we know anything apart from you is dissatisfaction and emptiness. But what we have found in you is what my soul longs for. I know it's you. It was the best decision I ever made in my life to call the president of the CBR and say, you know, thank you for this opportunity. I've enjoyed every moment of it. I'm blessed to have done it. Thank you for allowing me to come to the world finals, but this is my retirement. I will no longer be fighting bulls. And this guy said this because one thing that I did ask God if I was going to fight bulls was that he gave me an opportunity to preach the gospel everywhere I went, and he did. Every place I went, whether they wanted me to or not, I stood in the locker rooms and I preached the gospel to those men and those women at rodeos. And it was a blessing. And many people were born again. Many people saw miracles and signs. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't all bad. It was the will of God. But there came a time where he said, you're going to keep walking with me in the direction I'm going, or you're not. You're going to go in the direction that you want to go. Just like this. Peter, you've gathered everyone up and you've taken them back to the thing that I told you don't go back to. And look at your nets. Empty. Only thing that happened and got them filled again was me. This is the only place you're going to find. I remember the next year, I pondered this because when I retired, I was very upset. But this guy basically said, he said, brother, if you ever come back to fighting bulls, you'll always have a job here with us. No matter who's in the position, we'll empty it to put you back in. And the Lord did that because he just allowed me to love on people. And I got to see people get saved. But I remember the next year, the same weekend as the CBR World Finals where I would have been fighting bulls and Cheyenne, God put on my heart to do a youth crusade in the little town that we were in. And we put it on for 3 days. And this is right at the time where a bunch of youth camps were letting out and they were all coming home. And we ended up in the 3 days, I think that we saw about 1,000 to 1,300 kids come. And we preached right in the middle of town, right in the football field, the memorial field. And not only were there church kids there, but there were kids that had never been to church. We gave out free food and had music and all kinds of stuff. And then we preached the word to them. And I'm pretty sure 500 kids had given their life to Jesus. This is the same weekend that I would have been in Cheyenne, Wyoming, fighting bulls. And God, I remember going to the altar when it was over and just thinking, God, this is amazing. And I was quickened in my heart. And he said, this is what I called you for. And if you weren't here, if you weren't in this place, this wouldn't have happened. Because you'd have been gone. And you'd have been doing this. Which is good. It's not bad. But it wouldn't have had the impact that I had prepared for you in this place. And so it's an amazing difference being in the will of God and not being in the will of God. What you've gained in your salvation is incredible. But don't be selfish with it. We can take it and we can go do the will of our heart and the desires of our heart. But how many people are going to miss out because of it? We have to surrender to the Lord and go, you know what, God? You drew me from this. Now take me where you want me to go. Now, as we're sitting at this day, and I'm thinking back over the last 3 days, thank God. I chose right. I just looked at them and just thought I could be anywhere else today, but I'm not. Thank you that I'm right here in your will. So don't take it lightly what God says to you, what God's calling you to do, and choose him because it's a life of fulfillment. It's a life of satisfaction, not just for us, but for people that we haven't even met yet. It's going to be incredible what heaven's going to look like because you're going to just follow God. That's what you're going to do in your life. You're going to do his will. And one day you're going to get to heaven and someone's going to walk up to you and they're going to go, you don't remember me. But while you were doing the will of God, I found him because of your life. And I'm here today because of you. I'm here today because of your sacrifices, where you chose him over the desires of your own heart at times. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your surrender to the Lord. That's not why we do it. I just love him. I just want to know him. I'm not doing it for the accolades of heaven. I'm doing it because I want to know God and I want to know him the most that I can. But I can tell you the rewards of heaven are going to be incredible. And it's going to be measured in souls of the people that you've touched along the way. So thank you for serving Jesus. Thank you for stepping away from your boats when he came. Thank you for being captivated in your hearts because it was not meaningless. You may have missed a few things on this earth, but you have gained everything when it comes to heaven. And it's worth it. I love what Jesus said as he rallied them up. I've already got fish on the fire, but bring over your catch and sit with me and have breakfast. One day we're going to get to heaven and Jesus is going to have prepared for us what he's prepared. But you know what he's going to say to us? Bring to me what you've brought. Maybe it'll look like, bring to me who you've brought because of your life. Surrender to me. You did what I told you. Well done, good and faithful servant. You did what I asked you. Now here's the rewards. Will you stand all over the house with me as we just take a few minutes and we just thank God? Man, it's hard sometimes. It's difficult. I'm sure Peter probably fell on some hard times financially and just thought, I'll just go catch a few fish, pay this bill. But he remembered what God said, I'll take care of you. You're not a fisherman anymore, you're a fisher of men. I'm going to take care of you because you're doing my work. You'll never go hungry. I'm going to take care of you. So God, today, as we close our weekend of VBS, let it not be closed in our work, in our deeds towards you. Not our good character, not our strength, not our ability to do good things, Lord, but our pursuit of you, our pursuit of being in your will. And I look back on moments, Lord God, where you asked me to choose. The first choice you asked me to choose was to leave my old life behind and to come into your new life. And I thank you, God, that I made that choice. I thank you for offering that choice to me. I think about the life that I was getting ready to make right here in Indiantown as a young man, a young married man who had just given my life to Jesus, where you came and you gave me the opportunity to be in your will. Even though it wasn't what I wanted and it was uncomfortable, I went, Lord, and I look back over 12 years of ministry and I think, God, thank you. Thank you that you took me there. Thank you that you got to see, Lord, this life that was lived out there in your will. And even there, Lord, you called us again to leave everything we knew to follow you again. And Lord, I have not been disappointed over one moment of leaving behind what you asked me to leave behind. My life is the most fulfilled. I feel the most blessed today, God, because I look back, God, and you've always been with me. You've never left me. You've never forsaken me, God. Lord, my boat is filled. This boat of life is filled, God, because I've just simply done what you've asked me to do. It's been greater than all the treasures of earth that I could, all the riches I could have made and fame. It's greater than all of that, God. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for finding me. Thank you for calling me. And Lord, I just pray, Lord God, as we have gone, every one of us in your will, I just pray, Lord, as we have laid out the nets in this life for souls, that we have not missed one that you've put in our path, that each one has been touched by your love, by your grace, and by your mercy that you've showered us with. I pray, Lord God, that we see one day the treasures, the catch that you allowed us to be a part of in this life. Oh, I'm so grateful for it. God, if all the catch that I have, Lord, is my wife and my children, God, it's enough for me. What a treasure. It doesn't have to be thousands like Peter. It doesn't have to be millions, God. It just has to be six for me, Lord. Let it be that, if nothing else, Lord. Let my life be pleasing to you. Remember us, Lord. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you, church. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Keep praying for one another. Amen. We're not long for this world. Hallelujah. Wednesday night, we will resume our regular prayer meeting. So if you come, we'll be meeting here at 6:30. Amen.